And we're back. This is Central Standard, and the rest of this morning's show is a check-in with our audio files. We've got podcast reviews from our in-studio guests, and you're invited to call in with recommendations, too. What should we be adding to our podcast feeds? Call 816-235-2888. I'm Gina Kaufman, and to kick this off, let me introduce Beckett Graham. She's one half of the two-woman team behind the History Chicks podcast, created here in Kansas City. Hi, Beckett.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Well, before we even talk about your podcast, I want to let listeners hear a little snippet of the sound. Every episode starts with a 30-second summary of any woman whose life you happen to be exploring. Let's hear a recent example of that, okay?
Sounds good.
Welcome to the History Chicks, where any resemblance to a boring old history lesson is purely coincidental.
And here's your 30-second summary.
Are your parts broken?
Are your emotions leaking out?
Are you full of hysteria?
Hide in the closet when the doctor comes around.
Because Lydia Pinkham can fix you right up.
The end. Let's talk about Lydia Pinkham.
But first, let's drop her into history. In 1873, Queen Victoria's Alexandra Palace opened and then burned down 16 days later. Susan B. Anthony was fined $100 for voting.
Talk to me about your sound. How would you describe it?
Oh my goodness. Irreverent would be the main word I'd say. We don't take ourselves too seriously. There are times which we sing, we do interpretive dance that you can't see it on the radio. Anything to get our point across.
Where are you doing this interpretive dance? Where are you recording the episode? Set the scene for me.
We are recording in my house of wood, is what we call it. It's all made of wood. There's no soft surfaces. In my house in Brookside at my giant farm table that seats 14 people.
And it's just the two of you sitting there?
It is.
Is there wine involved? I hope you don't mind my saying that it sounds like there might be, but just a little, not like too much.
Sometimes there is. Sometimes there's an appropriate cocktail. For the Jane Austen podcast, we made something called syllabub, which has wine and sugar and cream, and it was a delightful podcast.
Is it era appropriate?
Sometimes it is.
A period drink?
Yes.
How did you and Susan, the History Chicks co-creator, meet?
I had never met Susan when I asked her to join the History Chicks. I'd been inspired to start a podcast, and I cold called a woman that I had met only on a mom's message board.
Wow.
Online.
And how did you know she would be interested?
I had no idea she'd be interested, but she was so funny on the screen, I thought, oh, now. This is someone I have to talk to. And when I called and talked to her husband, of course, I get the inevitable, what's a podcast? And when I explained it was a radio show for the internet, he said she is going to be interested, and we met over pie. I had brought my microphone as an inducement, I don't know, and that's how it all started.
So you already had a microphone. Tell me about your background.
I have no background really in broadcasting at all. I do have a theater background. I went to KU for theater, and I think that's starting to come out, although I haven't really used my degree very much since.
What inspired you to want to make a podcast about women in history?
I was reading a book called To Marry an English Lord by an author named Carol Wallace, and it's the exact same book that inspired Downton Abbey, so we have the same ancestor. And I was so inspired by the subject, Gilded Age heiresses who traveled to England to marry titled nobility, that I was so excited to go find a podcast and learn more about it, and there wasn't one. There wasn't one, and I thought, well, you know, that feeling came over you. I guess I have to make one. I have to make it myself if it doesn't exist.
A lot of people listen to podcasts and probably think they know what making one would entail, but not quite as many people have actually tried it. What surprised you most when you first got started?
It's the time. Time, time, time. I don't outsource the editing, and so it's just me and Susan. So a lot of things have to be done after children go to sleep in the middle of the night, via text in the car, that kind of thing. That's the biggest surprise. The technology is one thing. It's a vertical learning curve, for sure. But once you get there, you've got it, once you've learned it.
That episode we just heard a little bit of, it's about Lydia Pinkham. Tell us a little more about her. Why did you want to tell her story?
Well, Lydia Pinkham is one of those people that really, these days, hardly anyone knows about. But she's famous enough that male university students at Cambridge made a drinking song about her. She brought women's health issues to the forefront. Back in the day, it was embarrassing to tell a male doctor anything about parts and things. Even your husband would be very suspicious if you'd gone to a male doctor.
You've mentioned a drinking song, and you've also mentioned that you sing on the podcast sometimes. Can you sing us a little bit of this song?
Oh, my. That's some pressure.
You're allowed to decline.
No, I'll sing. But keep in mind, this is supposed to be a barbershop quartet, and I meet none of the requirements.
Okay.
We drink a drink a drink to Lydia Pink, a pink, a pink, the savior of the human race. She invented medicinal compound. And that's all I remember.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
You've done a couple of recent episodes on the women of Gone with the Wind. I've got a little clip from that episode about the author of the book. We're going to hear it in just a second. You and Susan are talking about her childhood.
So one day, little two-year-old Peggy was running around playing with her cat when the skirt of her little dress caught on fire. This is no joke. Her six-year-old brother Stevens ran in and managed to beat out all the flames. This was before Stop, Drop, and Roll.
Yeah, she wasn't hurt in it. However, it scared the poo out of Mama, who decided that the easiest solution to this problem was to put her in pants.
You know, not at Grandma's or anything.
Right, not out in public. She kept the dresses for special occasions and when she had to get out in public, but just playing in the yard, she's in pants. Margaret loved it because she was already running with the boys.
She bullied her papa into going downtown with her and buying her a flat cap. And everybody referred to her as Jimmy.
That Stop, Drop, and Roll bit is funny. It's not the standard history show reference, and it lets me, actually, I feel like it lets me know how old you are and who you are. It contextualizes you.
I know. Our pop culture references are sometimes too telling about our age.
And I like that I've noticed that in most episodes, when you refer to someone's father, especially if it's like an old-timey Americana, that he is always Papa.
It's just a convention we started a long time ago. Dad seemed too disrespectful somehow when we didn't actually know him and we weren't going to talk to him or tell the listeners about him. So we just thought perhaps a little more formal way to speak.
In a way, I also love the delight you both take in stating that everyone called this little girl Jimmy. Are moments like that just you, the two of you, erupting into delight together at the story you've already kind of talked about?
But we haven't talked about it. What we do is we research completely separately. We have a basic birth-to-death format. So what happens is we get the same sort of things, but one of us will use a different research material. We look at original documents even, and we'll come across something that the other one doesn't know. So the delight is usually very genuine.
When Central Standard returns, Beckett Graham will join KCUR's Jeremy Bernfeld. They're today's audiophiles telling us all about the podcasts they listen to. 816-235-2888 to join the conversation. We'll be getting to your calls after the break. See, that didn't take long. Beckett Graham, co-creator of the Kansas City-made History Chicks podcast, welcome back.
Thank you.
And Jeremy Bernfeld, editor of Harvest Public Media based here at KCUR. Good morning. Thanks for stopping by.
Hi, Gina. Thanks for having me.
I'm Gina Kaufman. Beckett and Jeremy are here for Audio Files, our podcast review show. Call 816-235-2888 to tell us about the podcast we don't even know we need in our lives. 816-235-2888. Guys, what makes a good podcast in your view? I'll start with you, Jeremy.
I think for me, the biggest thing is just to be entertained. I listen to a ton of podcasts, and mostly what they are is I'm doing dishes or I'm cooking or something like that. And I put them on to make it, you know, less monotonous. And, you know, I found that I have been looking forward to it. I mean, I think my fiance will tell you, like, I'm the best dishwasher that you've ever seen these days because I throw on my nerdy baseball podcast or one of these other podcasts that we'll talk about today and get the dishes done. And, you know, all of a sudden it's just flown by.
So you're a good multitasker then, because that is, I sadly am not. So if I'm listening to a podcast, that's actually all I'm doing. I like your model. but it's not for me.
I think it definitely depends on the podcast. You know, it depends on what kind, what you're looking for from it. I mean, if you're looking for information, if it's deeply, deeply engaging, but there's some kind of more surface level that are just entertaining. And at the same time, it's not like I'm, you know, performing brain surgery. I mean, I'm just washing the dishes.
Beckett, what about you? What makes a good podcast?
I do definitely agree with the entertaining aspect. And in addition, I like to learn a little something. All the shows that I'm going to talk about today have that little element of putting a little piece of knowledge in my head that I didn't have before.
How are you listening to podcasts these days? There are so many different tools and so many different, approaches.
I have got a hipster ideal classic iPod, the old thing with the scrolly thing, because it takes a licking. I do some display work, and if it falls out of my pocket, it's fine. And I listen pretty much 7 hours a day.
Jeremy?
Wow, that's a lot of podcasts.
It is a lot of podcasts.
See, what I love about podcasts is I used to load them up on my iPod. I have a long commute. I live in Lawrence, and I come in here to KCUR every day in the city. So I used to load them up my iPod and listen to them on the way home. But now it's just so easy. You know, my iPhone is connected to Wi-Fi almost all the time. And so I can quickly download something if I need, if I'm going to be heading in the car or something. But I can also stream so easily, particularly with apps like Stitcher or something like that. I'll go home, log the phone in my pocket onto my home Wi-Fi, plug in my headphones, and I can just stream it. Don't have to clutter up my iPhone and waste the gigs and everything like that. And I can just listen to anything I want.
This morning, we're hearing bits and pieces of Mark Maron's conversation with Barack Obama on NPR. Mark Maron is the host of a podcast called WTF. Typically, he banters with comedians in his garage. Is it significant to the podcast world that Mark Maron's garage is now a place for an exclusive presidential interview?
I think, number one, it means we have an extraordinarily hip president. Number two, how delightful it was for me to see Mark Maron's studio and know that I'm not alone. His garage is not an outfitted, fabulous studio. It is a garage. And I think it gives a little inspiration to the rest of us. Like the
kind of empowering.
Oh, yes. So, we can make it happen from nothing. That's what I think that is.
I think 2014, 2015, it wouldn't shock me if we look back on those 2 years and say, you know, the years of the podcast. I mean, after Serial achieved just breakout success, brought, incredible attention to the medium. And then here, as you said, I mean, the president is on podcast. I mean, everyone paid attention to BuzzFeed when he was on BuzzFeed, that he's now on Mark Maron's show. I mean, I think podcasts are officially mainstream.
Do you think, I mean, I know we've only had a chance to hear little bits and pieces, but do you think that what we learn from a president or a politician of any kind really is different through this kind of podcast format than it would be in a more traditional or formal journalistic setting?
Well, I think any journalist who covers the White House would say, what have we learned from the president in any kind of formal journalistic setting? I mean, this president rarely takes questions that aren't vetted or rarely answers a question that's given that's a curveball, almost never takes anything unexpected. So I think it's unfortunate as a journalist myself. I mean, I think it's unfortunate that we're having to learn about the president from a comedian in his garage with his cats. But, I'll take it any way I can get it, I think.
And his format is, he says that he doesn't do interviews, that he has conversations and that he doesn't necessarily ask questions. Do you think that that's something that politics could, benefit from, to hear more of politicians in conversation rather than answering specific questions?
I do. It is frustrating to hear the standard pat answers all the time. And I think these conversational formats bring out a little more honesty.
Well, let's move on to our podcast recommendations from our audiophiles today. Jeremy, we're going to get a recommendation from you. We'll hear a snippet of the podcast first, and then you can tell us about it after that, okay?
Sure.
From Gimlet, I'm Starley Kine, and this is Mystery Show.
Why is there you?
Every week, I solve a new mystery.
Why is there me?
Mysteries that can't be solved online. Mysteries you can't solve yourself.
Why does my mother kiss my father occasionally?
Up until now, there hasn't been anyone to help with this. That person is now me.
Those mysteries. Tomorrow I'll find out all I should know. Those mysteries. I don't even know what I don't even know. Those mysteries. They're hanging round and around and round and round.
Okay, so what two words do you know about my mystery?
Belt buckle.
That is a good title for it.
That's Carson. He knew me even before I was solving mysteries. That's how far back we go. When you have a mystery, you carry it around with you always. Usually, that happens in your head. But in Carson's case, his mystery fits in the palm of his hand. It's an object that came into his life when he was 9 years old in Phoenix, Arizona.
Jeremy, first of all, I really like the sound of that show, which is related to the content, but can you talk about the sound for a second?
Well, it's produced by Starley Kine, who you might know, recognized from This American Life. She's been on other NPR and other public radio programs for a long time. But it has a very, I would call it updated This American Life kind of aesthetic. She's very, very funny, very quirky. And doesn't shy away from experimenting with new kinds of sound. It's beautifully scored. She has original music in it. And it's very casual. It's very much kind of having, it's certainly a produced, edited podcast that takes a narrative form like This American Life, but it's very casual and it feels very conversational.
So there is a difference between the person who has no broadcasting training, who has a wooden table and a friend she just met in a mom's group online. A big difference between that and someone who's worked on This American Life and is now creating her own project. Can you talk about sort of the range of podcasts?
Well, I think that's something that's really exciting about podcasts and really just media in the internet age in general. There's really something for everyone. They can be super, super niche. I mentioned I listen to this really nerdy baseball podcast and it's daily. I listen to it almost every night while doing the dishes. And that's not going to be for everyone, but it's for me and it's great. And it is two guys who are great baseball writers, not great broadcasters, not great audio producers. And then on the other end of the spectrum, there is Starley Kine, who has this rich history of doing something really new and interesting and innovative in audio. So I think it's great that, you know, there really is something for everyone and that podcasting can take so many different forms.
What's the name of this baseball podcast?
It's called Effectively Wild.
So let's stick with the mystery show for just a second. What is the premise of the show? We've gotten a sense of the sound, but what's the idea?
Every episode, Starley has what she'll call a mystery. It's really just those little, family stories that have been passed down or found objects that you've always wondered, like, this thing is so cool and I found it when I was 8 years old. Where the heck did it come from? And she kind of tries to go back in time and unpack that mystery, find the answers for you.
Is this thing about two words a recurring theme? Like, what two words do you know about my mystery?
Yes and no. At the end of every episode, she gives you a one-word hint of what the next episode is going to be about. I've never been able to guess the next episode. Apparently people do. So yes and no.
For people who might want to just get started on the mystery show, perhaps today, what is there an episode title you'd recommend as like the best one, the one to start with?
Well, I don't know if you want to start with it because I think it is the best one, but I think that belt buckle, which is the third episode, she just wrapped up a 5-episode kind of mini season. They're going to go on a short break till July. And they're all really fun and interesting. And like I said, very quirky, but I would definitely start with Belt Buckle. It's fantastic. It's really fun. They're about 25 to 30 minutes each. And just a little 30-minute slice of cake.
And this is the mystery show. Where do people go to get it?
You can find it in all your usual places, you know, iTunes, Stitcher, any of those. It's produced by Gimlet, which are the people behind Startup and Reply All. So you can go, you know, find it. Just Google mystery show and it's on Gimlet. But like I said, iTunes is probably the number one spot.
Beckett, you've picked one of my favorites, The Kitchen Sisters. Talk to me about The Kitchen Sisters podcast.
Actually, I didn't pick The Kitchen Sisters, though I do love them.
I did. I picked Fugitive Waves.
I apologize.
So okay. I'm happy to talk about Fugitive Waves, or we can get to that later.
We will go ahead and do it quickly, and then we'll get to one of Beckett's recommendations. My apologies. Jeremy, let's explain it a little bit up front. It's a montage of voices from an episode called War and Separation. The sound is scratchy, and you can tell these are vintage recordings. What do we need to know? What are we about to hear?
Yeah, this one is this episode is audio letters to soldiers who were posted overseas in World War II. So I guess that recording companies would sponsor family members to come into a recording studio and record their voices as if it were a letter and send it overseas to the soldiers to play.
Hello, Louie. This is your wife again. To start off, honey, I want to tell you I love you very much. And, sweet, I do hope you've gotten the other records that I sent over to you. This week I've received no mail from you yet, but I was a lucky gal last week. I got 7. Today I also got a letter from Emil. And his P.S., he said, we ski in 43. I sure hope so. Gee, Lou, I hope so, too.
Hi, baby. Happy Saturday night. Joe Boy just got off KP, so I figures I'll say something to you. Mostly, you know what I want to say, honey, that I love you. And I always keep remembering that, and I hope your mother isn't listening when you play it the first time.
Don't worry about me because I'm all right, and I'll always be all right as long as I know you're going to come home to me.
Jeremy, what is it about Kitchen Sisters that was just exemplified in that clip?
You know, I was thinking about this weekend. I was listening to this one at the laundromat, so more multitasking. You know, everyone talks about how you smell something and it can bring you back into a place that you've been in, and we've all had that experience. I feel like sound can really deliver emotion so well in that same way. And so, you know, I mean, we were just listening to that clip in the studio, and we looked at each other and kind of had a little pouty face of how just sweet and earnest. You know, you heard the wife's letter, audio letter to Louis there, and it made me feel something and understand these people's lives in a way that, I don't know another media could do that.
And that scratchiness kind of makes you feel, I don't know, it's the sound of a long time ago.
It brings so much more than just, you know, the words itself. And obviously the Kitchen Sisters, as you mentioned, they're veteran radio producers who do absolutely beautiful work. So, you know, you heard the music in the background and you heard that wonderful montage that they put together. So it made it sound as if they were speaking to each other. But it really transports you into that place. And I just think, again, another half hour that I can just spend in the 1940s and to understand this amazing time period that still affects us, you know, every day, but I get to kind of understand it on a deeper level.
What is the idea of the Kitchen Sisters overall?
Well, this podcast, Fugitive Waves, is mostly lost and found, sound recordings that they then kind of string together in a theme. They call it kind of lost history. It's very social history, you know, the history of real people. We've all learned about World War II in history class, but this is about the real people who lived during that time.
So let's get to some of Beckett's recommendations. Beckett, before we give this clip a listen, tell me about the Gilmore Guys and their Pop Goes the Culture segment.
Okay, so as you may or may not know, the entire 7 seasons of The Gilmore Girls has just been released on Netflix. And these two 20-something guys, might I add, decided that they would go through and cover every episode front to back. And they always open with a little scenario called Pop Goes the Culture, in which they extract all the pop culture references in the entire episode and string them together and then try to make sense of it.
So let's hear an example of that. This is the Gilmore Guys Pop Goes the Culture segment.
So let's get into the episode the way we always do, with a segment we call Pop Goes the Culture, where we take every single pop culture reference in the show and put them together in a supercut and listen back, laugh, scoff, guffaw, analyze, and go deep. So this is episode 317, A Tale Poe's in Fire, Pop Goes the Culture.
There will be a complimentary cask of Amontillado on the table in your room. And if you're expecting your friends, Dr. Tarr and Professor Feather, I'll send up another one. You said you were with the Poe Society.
Yeah, but it's just a hobby. We're not Trekkies.
Talk about Mira Sorvino a lot.
Try and make it home time for Charlie Rose. Billy Joel's on, and he might cry or something.
Okay.
Every place that sounds like Glinda the Good Witch threw up, yes, all booked.
This isn't General Hospital. I don't deserve General Hospital.
I am the Lonely Wanderer. Hank Williams would be too sad to write a song about me.
I was flipping through Harvard class schedules when you were still delighting to the adventures of Gumby and Pokey.
I was more of a Pee Wee Herman kind of gal.
It's Mickey Mouse stuff anyway.
Might as well record the new Justin Timberlake over this.
We have a document the length of Nicholas Nickleby here.
Start the fire, put Phil Spector up to it.
Proust wrote all 3,000 pages of In Search of Lost Time in bed.
I was Ricardo Montalban's receptionist for 6 months, and he never complained.
Hey, Sherry Lewis, how's the show going?
Stella!
You get to see the next Meryl Streep, all goofy and 18.
My parents are away, so I've been totally Howard Hughes-ing it.
Well, as they say on The Family Feud, good answer.
Good answer.
What?
Okay, did anyone else look up Mira Sorvino, Harvard?
Yeah, I didn't figure it out.
I just figured she went kind of like Natalie Portman went to.
She did go to Harvard, but I did not know that. She went for a year.
I neither.
Oh, maybe that was the talk of the town when this episode
I bet
came
it
out.
Was.
Because this came out in 2003.
I just thought, like, what a weird reference.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the show's references are always on point.
Totally. I think you're a little kooky sometimes.
I know. I was trying to be facetious. It didn't really work.
Facetious.
You know what?
That, you know, you hear them in the background throughout the montage having their just, I'm assuming, very authentic reactions to what they're hearing. It's kind of like Mystery Science Theater 3000 or like those old guys in the Muppets looking down on the show from their balcony. Is that part of the appeal for you?
I think it is part of the appeal. Also, the fact that they are in a living room, which I also like. And the whole show is not exactly like that, but they dissect each episode. They just take it apart. The fashion, the hair. What was this pop culture reference? Let's go back to this. And it's just amazing. I just think they are so funny. And I think it's the pop culture and the way that I use pop culture in my show that ties it together. That's what I like so much about that show.
Did you watch The Gilmore Girls when it came out?
I didn't when it came out, but I came across The Gilmore Guys podcast and I went back and binged on it.
So you're like watching together.
Oh, yeah. I watch an episode right before I know their new episode's coming out. So I'm with them.
We aren't going to hear a clip from this one, but tell us about the Bowery Boys, because that's another one of your recommendations. And I want you to get a chance to tell us about it.
The Bowery Boys are two extraordinarily marvelous gentlemen who know everything about New York City. They cover things from the 1600s all the way up. They go deep. And even if you don't live in New York City, you will learn so much. The Rockettes, Times Square, the Flatiron Building, the Statue of Liberty. They cover New York City is like the world's capital. We're all familiar with New York City. And even if you don't live there, you can get such good information out of this podcast.
So where should people go to check out the Bowery Boys and give it a listen if they like?
You can stream on theboweryboys.com or, of course, iTunes or Stitcher are the two. Stitcher for Android, iTunes for the iPod.
Jeremy, let's get one last one of your recommendations. We're going to hear it cold and then talk about it. Here we go.
And we are back to Terrible Parents by Kevin Ozer.
Exterior luxurious suburban home day. Howie, Stephanie, and Oliver walk up to a huge, elegant house. Howie porting some Tupperware. Stephanie gapes, nervous.
Hey, relax. Working with the other parents is just like doing a group project back in school. You know, we read the same books, we've got the same goal. We'll be accepted here, okay? We will be accepted.
I always just did all the work in group projects so much faster.
The parents exhale nervously, then notice that Oliver is hanging back, also nervous. They kneel down to comfort him.
Hey, buddy, I know it's scary joining a whole new group of kids, but these kids won't be mean to you, okay? They can't wait to hang out and read stuff and make stuff and explore stuff with you, I promise.
Really? You just be yourself and you'll make so many friends.
Oliver smiles. Howie stands, Stephanie adopts a cool criminal air. She looks over her shoulder, speaks in a low voice, and subtly slips a handful of candy in Oliver's pocket.
But just in case, a man with a pocket full of candy doesn't have to worry about making friends. You know what I'm saying?
Oliver smiles, excited. Stephanie stands. She and Howie exchange a wink and smile.
Hey, and if you meet any grown-ups, tell them your dad has lots of good beer at home, okay?
Don't recruit the boy to do your...
The door opens. It's Carol Dunhill, 39, old money, always drunk and depressed.
You must be Stephanie and Howard.
Yeah!
Howie, please.
I'm Carol Dunhill, and this must be Oliver.
Jeremy, what did we just hear?
That's a podcast called Blacklist Table Reads, and what they are the best, they say they're the best screenplays that have never been turned into movies, and they're made into radio plays.
Beckett, have you heard this one?
I have not. I love it.
Yeah. What are you picking up on here?
I am just so tickled. I've just, it's a, talk about irreverent. I mean,
yeah, this one's very funny. They don't necessarily always do comedies. They do a bunch of comedies, and they release them generally in batches weekly. Each screenplay or each radio play takes 4 episodes to kind of unfold.
So, and I've noticed the narration is, it's a voice that kind of comes in and out of it and assumes a very specific kind of narrator voice when the time comes. Did that take some getting used to for you?
Yeah, I mean, it really is reading a screenplay. So if you're not used to that, it might take a little bit of getting used to. But they get some great, you might recognize some of those actors. They get some really great actors in to do some of the pieces. And I know that at least one of the screenplays that they turned into a radio play is now being produced as an actual film.
Beckett, as a parent, will you take any of the advice you just heard in that brief snippet, perhaps shoving some candy into your kid's pocket?
I was going to say, there's something to be said for bribery.
Beckett, before we go, are there any other podcasts you really enjoy that you want to just throw out there as some titles to keep a hold of?
Absolutely. The Satellite Sisters, Five Real Sisters. It's cozy. It's friendly. Dinner party download, where you can learn about a fact in history and then learn about a cocktail to go with that fact in history, right up my alley. Radio Lab, of course, which is podcasting's performance artists. And Answer Me This, which is a British call-in show, which is run by two comedians.
Sounds good. Jeremy, what about you?
We've covered a bunch of them. I would just throw in 99% Invisible if you haven't heard that. It's a staple of the podcasting world, and it's usually a little bit shorter, about 15 minutes or so. It's beautiful and makes me think about the world differently. And also The Moment with Brian Koppelman is another interview show that's super interesting.
We have run out of time, but we'll put a complete list of podcast recommendations from Jeremy and Beckett on our website. It'll include the ones we've talked about, plus probably a few we didn't get to. That'll be online at kcur.org/Central Standard. And you can sign up for Central Standard's podcast while you're there. Jeremy Bernfeld, podcast listener and editor of Harvest Public Media, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Beckett Graham, this has been fun. I'll be listening to History Chicks.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me.
And I'll be remembering that you listen to 7 hours of podcasts a day if my well ever runs dry. You'll have recommendations. To listen back to this morning's conversation about cicadas or to share our podcast roundup with your friends, go to kcur.org/Central Standard later today. Keep the conversation going on Twitter. We're at KCURCST. And I'm at Gina KCUR. Tune in for more guests and ideas tomorrow at 10. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross. I'm Gina Kaufman. Stick around for Up to Date next.